All right, so we're on a road trip, and we got a narrator, you know, doing his thing, talking incessantly about everything, every single thing we're doing, and giving us choices that we have to craft our lives around. You know what? Get out of here, narrator! We're talking about Monster Prom 3, Monster Road Trip. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where we are in the middle of the Wheel of Indies. My name is Drew, and joining me on this monster road trip is my co-pilot. Sometimes he gets to control the radio. Miles, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. This was an interesting game to go down.
Yeah.
So one of the things I love about indie games, and I think specifically about any time I've been to PAX, because if you've never been to a Panera Arcade Expo, which they have them in Boston, they have them in Texas, and they have them in, I think it's Seattle?
Yes.
For PAX West?
They had one in Australia, or a couple in Australia.
But yeah, they did have a PAX Down Under, and they need to do a PAX Unplugged for, like, analog games. If you find yourself in a position to go to any one of those expos, I would highly recommend you do it. It's one of the most, frankly, like, creatively inspiring things you can ever do. Like, being around that much creativity and that many developers who are enthusiastically talking about their games is something to really behold. And that's actually where, like, I first came across the Monster Prom series, is that first one was coming out. I think you were there the year the first one was being, like, it wasn't even demoed. They just were, like, promoting it.
Well, it didn't release the first Monster. Oh, no, I'm looking at Monster Road Trip's release date. Yeah, it first released in 2018, so it may have been that year. I'll be honest.
Yeah, because this wasn't out. It wasn't demo to play. It was just, I remember seeing the artwork. So I think that first year that I went, you were also there.
I don't remember what year I went off the top of my head.
Have you only been once?
I've only been once, yeah.
Okay.
Rebecca went one year, too, after me, before me? After me, I think.
After. Because we went to some stuff with her, but I thought you went a different year. So
No, I've only been the once.
Okay. So just the one time.
So
we need to go back up to Boston. Yeah. That's what we're saying.
Maybe not in March. A little cold. Monster Prom is by a group called Beautiful Glitch. They are a studio based out of Barcelona, Spain, but really that's just where the person that put it all together is, because everybody else really does all their stuff on the internet, and this is how they have functioned. And way back when, in 2017, they put out a Kickstarter for the first Monster Prom game, which is like a weird spin on a dating sim. This is going to be where things get a little, you know, if you're a Monster Prom fan, I'm sorry, we don't know anything about the first game. We didn't
play.
Yeah,
sorry about that. I actually think I own the first game, but I've only played the most recent one.
Yeah.
Which, so, I think 4 has already been Kickstarted.
Well, hang on. Because I looked this up and I figured this out. So their goal was 8,000 euros for the first Monster Prom game. They got 32,000 euros for the first Monster Prom game. So they released it to pretty big success. They eventually ended up making, outside of the computer versions, they ended up making a Nintendo Switch version next, and then a PlayStation and Xbox version in 2020. So, you know, they've been around the block for a little bit. And so they decided when they were going to make their second game, that they were going to have some broader goals. So, as I mentioned, their original goal was 8,000 euros, and what they got pledged was 32,230 euros.
Love to see it.
Their goal for Monster Prom 2 was 32,230 euros, of which they earned 535,251 euros.
How do you know you're doing something right, Drew?
Yeah, exactly. So their goal was to make a game that had kind of chapters in it that were a number of things. So they were going to have a chapter about going to camp, and they were going to have a chapter about, going on a little road trip, and they were going to have a chapter about this. But what that has turned into is different games. So the first one of those was Monster Prom 2 Monster Camp, which has already come out. And the third game is Monster Prom 3 Monster Road Trip, which is what we are going to talk about. And the fourth game is, I don't know if it's on the cusp of being released, but it's soon, which will be Monster Prom 4 Monster Con, where they go to a convention, which will be kind of fun.
Yeah.
So this is where we got to talk about what our expectations of this game were versus what we
played.
Found.
Yeah.
And I just want to apologize because I can hear what I sound like right now. So I'm not sick. I just screamed too loud at an Atlanta United match on Saturday, and my voice has yet to return. So, apologies for how raspy and bad I am going to be.
That said, Atlanta United won, so it was screams well spent.
LFG.
At least this week. and expectations, whenever I hear the term dating sim, and this is where it gets difficult, because dating sims and visual novels have such a blurred line, because a lot of dating sims end up being visual novels with like maybe one or two like choices that, you know, kind of change your trajectory, and that can be kind of obnoxious. Like I like dating sims. I think they're actively fun. And I think the closest I've gotten to like what I really want, hilariously enough, was when the dating sim was satirized in Doki Doki Literature Club, because the first little part of that is like one of the best dating sims I've ever played in my entire life.
Look, we talked about Doki Doki Literature Club back in the day. The first part that was basically the traditional dating sim part, I hated.
Oh, man.
And hated it. And I was so bored and I was so annoyed. And then the spin in that game happens, and it has become my favorite moments in gaming of all time.
The problem is a lot of dating sims do not give you the illusion of choice that is present in Doki Doki Literature Club. A lot of them are visual novels that have a handful of choices and that's it. Since that time period, you've had plenty of games that like take a spin off of it, like Boyfriend Dungeon and stuff like that, or things that like kind of like, you know, take a rise out of it, like Hado Flow Boyfriend, which is about pigeons. What's the one with like Colonel Sanders?
What was the Colonel Sanders dating sim?
Because I almost put it on the list. Because it was a time period where like KFC was hyper aware.
It was just called "I Love You, Colonel Sanders."
I love you, Colonel Sanders. Because it was at close to the same period where they did the Lifetime crossover with Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders, which was very, very funny.
That was also around when they did the Colonel Sanders Green Lantern crossover that we talked about on this show.
That's right. We did do that. I forgot we read that. Most dating sims don't give you that kind of choice, which is unfortunate. And so with this game being as, you know, further into the lifespan of this subgenre, I really thought it was gonna be more of a dating sim, and it's really not.
Yeah, so this uses the bones of the dating sim to make a solo or co-op kind of
like survival game.
Like it's like part choose your own adventure game, but there's
resources
that you earn, And so, yeah, you basically go on this road trip and you are presented each time with two choices, and you either go one direction or another direction. At the end of every week, you are at a rest stop that you are, you know, kind of hanging out in, and you have choices that you can do there. And sometimes it's, you know, restocking some resources. Sometimes it's item trading. Sometimes it's picking up a hitchhiker that happens to be one of the, I don't know how many 40 characters that are in these games at this point. Yeah. There's a lot of characters in these games.
Or sometimes you just want to flirt with a ghost girl.
Or sometimes you just want to flirt with a ghost girl. Or flirt
which
with
is a, what, which is what I spend most of my time doing.
Or you want to flirt with a wolf boy.
With Scott, the wolf boy.
Or you want to
you can also pick up, like, because all this stuff is like built in, you can pick up the lamb from Cult of Lamb.
Yeah, that was the DLC that they had added in since the game initially came out. But I haven't played Cult of the Lamb, so
I haven't either. Is it on our list?
I don't think it is, because I don't think I own it or have a way to play it. But we'll figure that out. But yeah, this game is wild, and I will say neither of us realized that this was a co-op game at all until too late for us to try to play the game.
Right
together,
which honestly the way the multiplayer sounds is more competitive than I think that it sounds like it's not as interesting co-op or multiplayer as I would be into. Like you have to like basically you get to like choose your resource first, and you know it's more of a who gets in. And I was like, I'm less interested in that because I'm already bad at making decisions. And because the first time I did through a run, I did not succeed.
I succeeded both times. I played nice. I played through twice. So the goal of the game is that you've got six or seven different resources. It's hype, mind.
Hype, mind, magic, soul, money, soul, and stamina.
Yeah. And you have to earn 25 of one of those and then once you have 25, the next time you get to a rest stop, the next destination is the final destination of your.
I don't think I realized that when I first played it, because like I was just kind of goofing around, and I it took me way too long to understand how the game what I was trying to do with the game.
Oh, you didn't. And so, like, did you not listen to the radio show that the two guys host that tell you blatant exposition radio is what they called it?
No, I did, but I still like wasn't putting two and two together because it was very late at night and I was hanging out.
Yeah. But this brings me to the other thing that I was honestly surprised at, because this game is super stylish. It's all really cool art that's all hand-drawn, you know, cool monster people and all of that. But this game is super R-rated, but not in the way you think.
Yes, I was actively surprised by that, because like I remember when Monster Prom came out and like the style is very cutesy, but like, you know, enough to where like you can have like some very cool artwork done. I was not expecting the amount of F-bombs to come out as quickly as it did, and specifically from the ghost girl. She's just dropping left and right, and
she dropped it left and right. She is constantly you pick a character, one of like five or six characters, although there's DLC characters to add even more to that.
Oh, do they auto make your name, or is there set names for the characters? Because I picked the little zombie guy and it said his name was Brian.
Yes. So every character in this game is a character that has been in a previous game.
Mm.
So the two prank masters with a Z, they were in the first two Monster Prom games, as were the other characters in question. However, because it's a pretty open game, if you want to play a character that has a different name or different pronoun, you can do that.
Yes.
You're stuck with whatever art you pick, but you can kind of build your own thing as part of that. You're not tied into, you know, there is clearly backstory that has happened with these characters, but it's not at all deep enough for you to really worry about. But yeah, to talk about it being super R-rated, graphically, it's not really at all. But the first place I went was a motel where I went to the bar and got propositioned by three different groups of people. So it was what group of people I would spend the evening with.
Right, right, right.
And the whole idea behind it is that those resources that we talked about, in this particular case, I lost 2 stamina, but I
was about to ask,
but I gained 2 hype.
I mean, yes, and that sounds about right.
And then immediately the very next place I went was a battle royale where I was having to kill or be killed. And I used magic to force all the souls of all the people that I killed into the body of an undead raccoon.
Some of the options you get for solutions to problems are absolutely amazing.
They're super bonkers. It's all over the place. And that was one of the things that I, because once you finish the game and you basically get a score. Unfortunately, I got like lame loser the first time, even though I, you know, won the game. It's different in the multiplayer version because you basically, based on what you pick and how well you do, that's how they grade you. But in this one, it was, you know, how well did you manage your resources and things like that? So I got lame loser because I was like down to 2 stamina, but I had 25 hype. So I went to Knifeland, which was fun. But it basically shows you how many of the individual places that you went and how many choices of those places that you have made so that when you play a second time, you can choose something different. And that was something that was interesting playing through the second time. I did switch it to easy mode in that version because there's easy, medium, and hard. And basically, oh, you start with 13 of the stats instead of 10 of the stats, you know, that sort of thing. And what was wild is I got maybe 1 too many of the same location. I was trying to pick all different things, but in some cases it was like, oh, a place I've been or a place I've been. So I ended up choosing a different place or the same place, but choosing a different option as part of that, which was kind of an interesting take. I'm trying to wrap my head around how I feel about this game because I'm still not exactly sure.
That's where I'm at because there are parts of this game and what I'm going to say is going to feel like an insult, but it really and truly. So there are aspects of this game that makes it feel like a mobile game. And I think that part of it has to do with the fact that like, all right, it's very, not that it's resource based, but like, all right, make a decision. And everything is kind of very menu based and you go through everything, but nothing, there's no interactivity outside of that. And like, if this game was on my phone, I would not flinch at all. And it's not that that's bad, but it does say to me that there could be a little more juice into some of the game. Like you also get put into many, many interesting situations. Like you can go into a, literally one was called like 90s apocalypse, which was great.
I went to that town too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I mean, you're given choices, but like you don't get to see like any visualizer. There's nothing to do there. Like it's all option based, which is why I'm saying it feels a little bit like a mobile game. And again, I don't mean that as an insult because typically I would.
And that's really the thing. Like there's a lot of art in this game, but it's all very still image based art. And most of it is not that reflective of what's happening. Again, because they have so many different options and so many different things, it really feels like, and I think that a lot of this is just what they've chosen to do. This is the style that they were going for. So I don't want to insult it. Is that
absolutely no? I fully agree with you.
They're letting the text of the game tell the story.
And that's a great point because there is a good text, the story for the road trip that you're on. Like if you choose to talk to your compatriots, like if you choose to talk to Scott or
Polly.
I kept wanting to say Polly the Poltergeist, but I was like, that sounds too stupid.
And
I was like,
her name is Polly Geist. So yeah.
They do a good job of like, I mean, if the thing is, they're not expecting you to like keep going back to the character to talk to, but like when I'm told, oh yeah, this is how you make that character dateable. All right, well then that's what I'm gonna do for a little bit. But they do a good job of giving those characters pathos and interesting things to say, and really like giving them three dimensions. I wish you had that option with some of the characters you meet along the way. And maybe I didn't play enough run-throughs because I know you pick up hitchhikers and can talk to them more than once, but it kind of feels like you don't have the option to do that. And that is something that I feel like they could work on a little bit, is give you more options that aren't penalty to you. Because like every choice you make when at a rest stop, that's your time. That's it.
Yeah. That was one thing that threw me off as well, is when you're at the rest stop, I thought I could click on something to find out what it did before I chose to do it.
Yes.
Nope. Can't do that.
No. You choose it. That's what you are married to for that stop for that week.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. It is also one of those things where, because of how this game operates and because it is so text heavy, I wonder how much fun it would be to play with other people.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like for me, I can't imagine this being fun to play multiplayer. Mostly because like what I personally get out of it is the relationships that I'm forging with the fictional characters. It's not like if you are playing with another person that you get to have the option to like have, like if you and I were playing, if I chose, oh, I'm gonna talk to Drew's character, oh, are we gonna have a relationship? Are we gonna have like a dialogue? No. It's whoever gets the resource first. If you choose to talk to Polygeist first, okay, I guess I got to talk to that freaking owl or whatever and look at his hobo wares. Like, I mean, and that's another thing, is the little wares that owl has. Some things you can tell what they are and what they mean, and other things, you got to guess.
What owl are you talking about?
Isn't it not an owl?
Yeah, there's a little squid guy.
Whoever has the, I thought it was an owl, but whoever has the like the little like stand where you can like
his name is Noodle, and he's a little like octopus dude.
Okay, I think one time it was an owl for some reason.
I don't know. maybe you had Noodle as a hitchhiker, so he wasn't.
So one time I traded something for which I mean there was one thing I had that was it was metal, so I assumed it meant money. But and I got a postcard, which was hype or something, and like you have to guess of what that means.
I had no idea of anything that I was doing in that.
I had none. I only did it once because I was like, I don't know what the end of any of this is.
but that's another thing about this game, is that it really does want you to play it multiple times. It wants you to go through and pick all the different things and do all the stuff, so much so that it's tracking all of the stuff that you're doing in the game, so that when you meet a character for the first time, you'll unlock an art they're you know, they've got a gallery mode where you can see that character in the gallery mode. And if you meet that character a second time and they're wearing a different costume, then that costume will also be in the gallery mode. It's there's so much unlockable stuff that we really only scratch the surface of this, but it's also just one of those things where I mean, and again, I don't want to be insulting this game because I had a fun time playing it.
I did too.
I just don't know how driven I am to go through all of it again.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at too, because I liked the characters. I love the artwork. Like, I want to spend time with these characters in a different fashion. And
when the writing is working, it is really, really great.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. When the writing is on, like, especially when the characters get vulnerable, you're like, oh, wait. And I love a game that tricks you into caring about your characters. It's honestly a characteristic of my favorite sitcoms of all time. Like, any sitcom, and this is kind of similar, that tricks you into caring about the characters and what they're going through is, honestly, it's one of the greatest things you could ever do. And this game's on the path of doing that. Like, I do care about these people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think that while the gamification of the trip is good, I don't know if there's enough there. You know what I mean?
I mean, again, and to be fair, we didn't play it multiplayer. Four people can play this game together, and I
can't imagine that being a good time though.
Because that's the thing. I'm trying to think because they let you choose. I'll say they let you choose whether you're going to have character voices or not have character voices at the very beginning of every run.
Yeah.
But the character voices it's not like everything is voiced. It's just little key phrases that they say from time to time.
Yes. Which is interesting because the narrator isn't really present. And like what do they call it? The exposition radio?
Yeah.
That should have been voiced. That should have been fully voiced. I would have been more like.
But I wonder if that's part of the charm. Multiplayer fun is that whoever's making the choice serves as the narrator for that, so they have to read out this big block of text that they're doing.
That's fair.
And maybe that's the fun of the game. I don't know. This is a game that I feel like if it had hit me a lot earlier in my life, it would hit different. Like, because it's so text-based, and yes, it has cool art, but it's also, you said it feels like a mobile phone game. It also feels a bit, and again, I'm not trying to say this in any kind of negative way, but like, I could see this exact game being done in a web page with frames in 1998, because it's you click a text box and there's a thing that you read, and you click a text box and there's a thing that you read, and it tracks the stuff.
You know what's so funny, like, is
a pre-flash web game,
right? I love that you have to preface that with like, this is not an insult, and like, you're explaining this, and I'm like, no, this would have been my favorite thing in 1998. Like, I 100% see what you're talking about.
Would have played it over and over and over again to see all the funny stuff and all the weird stuff, and the fact that they used bad words and said things that were like,
yeah, because it's honestly there are some moments where it feels like it's super cringy, obvious humor. And there are some moments where it's genuinely funny and clever.
Did you work in the factory? Did you find the factory?
I did, yes.
And as you have screw A, bolt A into panel A, and then bolt B into panel A, and then bolt C into panel A, and then the next person takes bolt A out of panel A.
Yes. There is some genuinely funny stuff here. I think it's worth exploring. I at the same time, I'm glad I got this as part of my Humble Bundle. Like, this is something that the Monster Prom series is one I've been meaning to play for a little bit, because I mean, I met the at least the, I don't want to say the crew, but like whoever was like promoting it at PAX one year, and they were super nice. They were very fun to talk to. And I don't think there was a demo. There was a demo the last time I saw them, but there was a line. And so we just chit-chatted, and they were super sweet. They were really like enthusiastic people. And I love that about my creative. So like, if like, even if you don't like hit a home run, like if you're enthusiastic about it, like that means a lot to me. And there's a lot to love about this game. As someone who does enjoy dating sims and slice of life stuff, I do wish there was a little bit more choice-based stuff in that element. Mostly to make it feel like more of a game, because it does kind of feel, and I don't mean to harp on this, but it does kind of feel a little mobile in that aspect where like, okay, you're going to go point A to point B. What choice are you picking? Okay, we're going here. And this is the resource you're using. And there is a mobile aspect to it. That doesn't mean it's a bad game. It just means that I wish there was more to it. And that's all.
Yeah. Well, Ed, you might get your heart's desire, as at least one more Monster Prom game is already coming out, if not more than that. Final thoughts. Monster Prom 3, Monster Road Trip, other aka Monster Road Trip.
I will say I had a really fun time with it. Do I wish it was other things? Absolutely. But it's a very charming game. I can't say it's not.
Yeah, it oozes charm. Like I just said a minute ago, when the writing is hitting really, really well. Some things, like, it never dips too far down in the crude path. You know, I feel like such an old person saying that. It was a little crude. And I mean, it's definitely,
well, for me Polly is the one who drops the f-bombs the most.
she more actively hits on NPCs and, you know, makes innuendo and just says blatantly sexual things out loud anyway. But it like has a line that it doesn't cross, and it's really interesting
where
that line is.
Because you're not a dating sim person, right?
No, I'm not. We talked about this. I've only ever played the one, and I absolutely hate
I know it. We've talked about this like off air, but like
we talked about this earlier in this episode, where when we played,
to a degree, but like
when we played Doki Doki Literature Club, and the first half of that game is,
yeah, you said you hated it, but you didn't say you hated all dating sims.
Well, because I've only ever played the one, and it left such a bad taste in my mouth.
Haven't you played Hotoful Boyfriend?
No, I haven't played Hotoful Boyfriend.
Oh, did we not do it for the show?
No, we've talked about doing it. I think
I feel like it was such a thing between you, me, and Mike for such a long time that I could have sworn you played it.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Monster Road Trip. It's a fun time. You know, check it out. We enjoyed it.
I definitely loved it. I would certainly buy it like on a discounted price, or at least less than $20. It's a very fun game, but yeah, I think that Beautiful Glitch does a lot of great stuff. I wish they did more, but we are going to table this for now, because we have more to come from the Wheel of Indies.
Let's spin the wheel. I have put all the remaining indies on the list again, and I have shuffled them around just to see if we can get something different this week. Let's spin.
And by different, he means not from last month's Humble Bundle.
Yes. Let's spin the wheel of indies.
I will laugh so hard at this last month.
Oh, the big con.
Oh,
I don't even know what this one is.
I do have it. I don't know if it was from last month. It was almost one from a Hama bundle from I want to say it was last month too.
It wasn't last month.
Okay. Because you don't have it.
I don't know. We'll figure that out.
I certainly didn't purchase it, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it wasn't last month anyway. It is available on Steam for $15. I hope I have it somewhere.
Do you want to respin?
We'll figure it out. Hustle your way across 90s America as a runaway teen con artist. Choose how to make your scratch as you don disguises, pickpockets, and rip people off in this comedy crime-filled adventure. Experience the totally rad 90s in all its plaid and payphone glory. Currently available for $15.99 on Steam. $14.99, $17.23 if you want to include the Big Con soundtrack. So that does sound like a good time. So that will be what we talk about next week here on The More You Nerd. If you would like to find us, you can find us in a number of different places. You can find us at themoreyounerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode of the show. You can go to Blue Sky and find us at The More You Nerd on Blue Sky. And you can also check me and Miles out on our other show, Cosmic Crit. Cosmic Crit is a show that we do with all of our friends, where we play the Starfinder RPG. It's like D&D in space, put out by the company Paizo. We've been doing that for a number of years. It's a really good time. We're up to season, 12.
Five.
Is it just five? Wow. We did a half season in there.
So wait, might be six. Might be six. I don't know.
Might be 10. I don't know. It's been going on for years, and we have a great time doing it. And if you go to CosmicCrit.com, not only can you check out that show, but you can look in the upper right-hand corner and find a link to the Cosmic Crit Discord. There, you could join that Discord and head over to the More You Nerd section of the Cosmic Crit Discord and talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored. And so with that said, gang, we're going to end the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd out. Two nerd for y'all.